Well, it's great to be here today. Really good to see you. And wow. This sort of week is like a break in our series. We've been doing a series on Theology 101, which Mike sort of pulled together last week. If you haven't listened to the podcast, go onto our website and listen to the podcasts. The sermons are on there, and listen to them and get yourself encouraged and blessed. So we've done that series 101, and we're launching onto a new series starting next week, which is going to be called OCF Thumbprint, when we look really at what makes us who we are. You know, your thumbprint is unique, and we're going to be looking at what actually makes us as a fellowship unique, and some could come with a few ideas for that one, but in God, I mean, in God. So really today is like a free week, and I've just been asked to speak that this week, and I've been really thinking, and two words that have already been used today, Mike just used them before, have come to me, and it's expectant and ready people. That's the title, expectant and ready people. Are we expectant and ready, you know? And today I want us to be an expectant and a ready people. If you haven't been stirred up today, then I don't know what God's going to have to do to stir you up, but he certainly stirred me up, and I hope you've been stirred too. You know, we want God, don't we, to do amazing things amongst us. And we keep saying these things, and I've been saying them for a long, long time. And I've seen God do amazing things. I know God does amazing things. Massive, massive things that are beyond my comprehension. Done in my personal life, I've seen him do it in others. Not just what I read in books, but you know, I haven't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. And I really believe that. And I just got this sense that God was saying to me today, ready, steady, go, you know, on your marks, get set, go. You know, if you've watched any races, and Grace has gone into youth, but Grace is a racer. But, you know, it's very, very important. The start is the key, yeah? Ready, steady, go. Did that gun go? Oh, sorry, half the field have left me and gone. And that can happen if you haven't got your the blocks right. If you're not ready, if you're not in that prepared place, then you're going to get left behind. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind in God, do you? I want to be part of what God's doing, yeah? I want to be in the centre, and I'm being selfish now. I want to be in the centre of what God's doing. I want to be on the front line of what God's doing. And this isn't me being big-headed. It's just, I just want more of you, God. Oh, yeah. I want more of you, God. I want to see more of your amazing things. So on your marks, get set, go. If you've got your Bibles with you, let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. This is a well-known passage of Scripture. It's a well-known story. It's the story of the 10 virgins. And I'm going to read it if you've got your Bibles or you've got your tablets. And it says this, at that time. And I wonder what that time is. I think it's a bit nearer than we think. Yeah? At that time. I think it's now. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. This was a tradition in those days where these 10 virgins would go and to meet the bridegroom and bring the bridegroom in to the ceremony. I don't know if they still do that. I don't know. Five of these virgins were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they didn't take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. A little bit what Adrienne was sharing before. Have we just got, you know, nothing's happening. I'll just wait. A little bit like that. That's a picture there, isn't it? At midnight, they must have been waiting a long time, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. No, they replied. There may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, you go to those who sell the oil and buy some for yourselves. That was a little bit selfish, maybe you might think, but you know, it's common sense, isn't it? You know, we've prepared. We're ready. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Are we looking for Jesus? Are you looking for Jesus today? Are you ready and expectant? This is a parable, really, looking for the return of Jesus. It could be any moment. We don't know. But not only in relation to the second coming of Jesus, just for the coming of Jesus today in this meeting, are you ready and expectant? Did you come here today with an open heart and saying, Lord, I'm open for what you want to do in my life. I'm ready for what you want to do in my life. We've already been stirred today not to settle for where we are. Are you expectant? Are you ready? Are you open? Sadly, you know, there's going to come a day when Jesus will come, and if you're not ready, then you're going to be left behind. If you don't know Jesus today as your Lord and Savior, if he's not central in your life, then today make sure you know him. Because when that call comes, if you're still messing around like these foolish virgins were, then you're going to be left behind. And that's the truth of God's word. Are you looking for Jesus today? Are you looking? Those of us who know Jesus today, are we looking for him in our lives every day? Are we after what he wants? Are we expectant of what he wants to do? Let's look at another passage of scripture. This is in 1 Kings chapter 18. It's a well-known story. I'm not going to read the whole story, but it's the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. And there's a bit of a background into this story. I'm going to read from verse 41, but the background to the story was there'd been no rain for 3 years. Elijah had said, it won't rain for 3 years because of your disobedience. It's not going to rain. And so the king was a bit upset. He went looking for Elijah. Eventually bumped into him. Read the story for yourself when you get home. And, you know, they had a bit of an altercation. And in the end, Elijah said, well, listen, let's have a bit of a challenge here. You bring all your false prophets of Baal, all 450 of them, and a few more besides. Bring them all along, right? And I'll come on my own. And then we'll have a challenge to see whose God is the real God. So what he said to do was, you build an altar, you prophets of Baal. You build your altar to your God. Put your sacrifice on it. Right? Don't light it, but just ask God to receive your offering. And they said, okay, we'll do that. And so they started first thing in the morning, they built the altar, and they were all doing their thing. It got to lunchtime, nothing had happened. Elijah said, what's happened? Is God asleep? Is he not listening to you? What's happened? Oh, no, and they got mad. And they kept on going till it was late in the evening when Elijah said, we had enough of this messing about. Nothing's going to happen. Why don't you come and see what my God can do? And he got 12 stones, and he built an altar, and he dug a trench around it that would hold a few gallons of water, and he cut up the altar, the sacrifice, put it on the altar, and then he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just prove my God's even a little bit more powerful than yours. He said, let's get some water. Hang on a minute, Elijah, we're trying to set this on fire. What are you doing putting water on it? No, put some water on. So he said, put some more on, and put a bit more on. Let's really make it go. And the trench around the altar was absolutely full. The altar was saturated. No chance whatsoever of ever lighting, apart from God, yeah? And guess what happened when Elijah cried out to God? Bang. Took off, the whole thing went up in smoke, including the stones. The stones were burnt as well. There was nothing there, yeah? And this is what Elijah then said in verse 41. And then Elijah said to Ahab, go, eat and drink, because there's the sound of heavy rain. There'd be no rain for 3 years. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. He said to his servants, go and look towards the sea. And he went and looked. He came back and said, there's nothing there. Seven times Elijah said, go back and have another look. The seventh time, the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started to fall as Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Yeah, God just turned the situation around in a few seconds. The faith of Elijah was absolutely unbelievable. The servant said in verse 43, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Have you ever said that to God? God, there's nothing there. There's nothing going on. What are you doing, God? Seven times he said to his servant, go back and have another look. Go back and have another look. Go back and have... He must have been getting fed up, mustn't he? Are you joking? The sky's blue. It hasn't rained for 3 years. What am I looking for? Go back and have another look. And then the seventh time, he must have got a binoculars out. I can just see, it looks like a cloud the size of a man's hand. Do you know, are you looking and expecting? Are you still looking, or have you given up after the first attempt, the third attempt, the fourth attempt? Have you stopped bothering? God says, keep looking. Keep being expectant. Keep holding on. Keep reaching out. In an impossible situation, it might only be a cloud the size of a man's hand in the whole of the skyline. Imagine that. That's how small it was. But it was the start of an amazing outpouring of God. And we know what happened. The rain came woof, in moments. God broke in. Don't stop looking. Don't stop expecting. God's timing is perfect. It might not have happened yet for you, but don't give up. Don't settle for less. If he hadn't gone back the sixth time, he wouldn't have seen it. I still think it would have rained, but the servant wouldn't have seen the hand of God. And that was the hand of God, I believe, that hand coming out saying, whoa, I'm going to do an amazing thing. I'm going to turn this nation round. And he turned it round. Look at Kenya, yeah? God could turn that nation round. If any nation needs turning round, guys, what about us? We need turning round. We need the hand of God, don't we, to come on our nation. We've settled for second best. We've settled for less. God forgive us. God forgive us, yeah. John 14 says this, Jesus said, and greater things than these will you do in my name. Greater things than these will you do in my name. I want an Elijah moment, don't you? I wonder if I've got the guts or the faith to go into the center of Ormskirk and say, look, I'm going to prove who my God is to you today. What should we do? I don't know what we could do. We couldn't build an altar, but I don't know what you think of something you'd like to do. I don't know. Set something on fire. I don't know what it could be. Yeah. But whatever it is, have I got the faith and courage to say, listen, this is my God. This is what he can do. Yeah. He can do amazing things. Jesus said, and greater things than these will somebody else do. Will you do in my name? That's what Jesus said. He's talking to you. He's talking to me, his followers, his people. And Jesus said it. And so it's going to happen. This wasn't a throwaway. This is the truth of God's word. You want to see those greater... I want to see those greater things. I've seen some great things. I've seen some amazing things. But I haven't seen enough yet. I want to see greater things and greater things that will blow my mind. And I'm fed up of reading it in a book. I'm just reading Intercessor. I think somebody mentioned that the other week. I bought it. Intercessor. It's an old book. But God was just... Woof, he just did amazing things beyond anyone's comprehension. Raising the dead, setting people free. Guys, that was in the 1900s, 1906, 1910, round about that era. Why not now in the 21st century? Why not now? God, do it, do it, do it, do it. And we will see greater things. We will see greater things. Lord, I'm saying by faith, I want to see greater things than these. Only if we believe. Only if we look and don't give up after the first hurdle. Only if we look and believe and expect. Another story in the Bible, remember the story of Naaman? A little girl, it's great to see these kids waving these flags. Guys, don't be embarrassed, come out. Nick's a fabulous flag waver. These little girls are following his footsteps, his daughters. Guys, come and wave a flag. What are they waving a flag for? What's the point of that? It's just a declaration. Hang on, this is what they wave flag for. We're here. God's here. We're praising him. We're worshiping him. Yeah? We're welcoming him in. It's an expression of worship. Anyway, a little girl was Naaman's servant. She'd been taken away from her own land. She was a little girl. And Naaman, who was a mighty warrior in his town, had leprosy, which was death. And she said, hang on, I know my God. My God can heal you. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, yeah? Never despise the children. Yeah. I know my God can do something. So Naaman said, well, I'll go for that. And so he set off, read the story. I haven't got time to go into the story now. And when he got to Elisha's house, yeah? I don't know what he was expecting. I think he was expecting a row of soldiers to greet him. Yeah, the king to be there, a big fanfare. Here comes Naaman. Elisha didn't even bother to open the door. He didn't even, he said, I'm not, send the servant out. Yeah. It's comical when you read it. But, you know, he said to him, Elisha sent a messenger out and said, go and tell him to go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times and he'll be healed of his leprosy. So you've been told God can do this thing for you. Go and see the man who knows the answer, Elisha. Do what he tells you to do and everything will be fine. What did Naaman say? On your bike. You think I'm going to go in that Jordan? You must be joking. Doesn't he know who I am? I'm not doing that. A song comes to mind. I'll do it my way. How many of us? Guilty as charged. I'll do it my way. All the time we want to do it our way instead of doing it God's way. God's way was in the Jordan. Karen shared a testimony last week that God had spoken to her. This isn't having a go at Karen. This is to encourage you. She said 3 times God had said to her to do something. And it took the 3rd time and she said, yeah, wow. And Karen knows this herself, but if she'd done it the 1st time, wow, yeah. And we're all guilty of that. Guilty as charged, yeah. So Naaman, go and wash in the Jordan. I'm not doing that. Has God told you to do something? Has God told you to go somewhere? Has God told you to let something go? An old hymn we used to sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not trust and do your own thing, or trust and say, well, I might do it one day, or do it some other time. When God says do it, do it. It may not be your idea. It certainly wasn't Naaman's idea. He said, I want to go back to my own waters. I want to go back to my clean waters. Not going in that smelly, dirty Jordan. I'll go and bath in my own bath 7 times. And you know, sometimes we say that to God. No, I'll do it my way. I think this is the best way. When God's telling you to do something completely different. If it's God's plan and God tells you to do it, then be amazed because God is going to do it. And we all know what happened with Naaman in the end. Someone talked some common sense into him and he went into the Jordan. I bet he was after giving up. It must have been, oh, I've got this Ollie, I don't want to do this. Once, ugh, stinking, horrible water. Twice, oh, 3 times, nothing's happened, I'll forget it. No, if he'd have forgotten it, it was the 7th time, the obedience. Don't wait 7 times to do what God is telling you to do. Don't wait 7 times, because God could have done it at the 1st time. But it was this challenge of belief. It was this challenge of do what I say. And God might be saying you to wait 7 times. I don't know. It might be 8 times. But do what God tells you to do 1st time. If only I'd do it 1st time. Lord, forgive me when I don't. Because God wants to do amazing things through each one of us. Luke chapter 18, another story. We know this one. The rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. Who wants to be the rich young ruler? Oh, yes, please. Put me down for that one, Lord. A rich young ruler coming to Jesus. What else could he want? What else could you possibly want? If you were a rich young ruler, you'd just sit back and say, that'll do me, wouldn't you? You'd be made up. Everything was for you. He said, what do you want? He said, I want eternal life. When you go to Jesus and you ask him what you want, Jesus is going to give you. Have you been to Jesus and asked him? Have you told him? Because Jesus wants to hear what you want. Yeah. If you're expecting something but you haven't asked for it, you're not going to get it. Christmas is coming. Have you made your lists? Yeah. Some people have already made the lists and it's a little bit too much. But you know what I mean? If you don't ask, you don't get. I haven't done my list yet. It's not worth it probably. Just be a blank sheet. But you know what I mean? I'm only kidding. But seriously, are you expecting? That was a fabulous question, I think, from that rich young ruler. I've got everything I want earthly, but I want eternal life. You know, and I don't knock the guy for asking that. But what I do knock him for is when he asked for eternal life and Jesus said, you've got it, here it is. Ooh, hang on a minute, ooh. But, the big but. Yeah. Mine's shrinking a little bit, you probably noticed. But you know what I mean? It needs to shrink a bit more because we've got too many buts. Too many but, Lord. Well, you but this, you know, or but that, or but the other, or well, but this is getting in the way, or but that might happen. Yeah? Too many buts. It's going to cost me too much. How much is it going to cost you to follow Jesus? How much is it going to cost you? What's it going to cost you? It's going to cost you too much time. We've all put the clocks back today. Some of us need to put the clocks back a bit more. We need to put them back and say, God, you know, I'm wasting too much time on stupid stuff that doesn't matter. Some of us haven't even got time to pick the Bible up. We've got time for Coronation Street or the football or something else, but we haven't got time to pick our Bibles up. Guys, come on. Time is short. Has God got your time? He wants your time. That doesn't mean you can't have fun. It doesn't mean you can't do other things. It doesn't mean you become a monk. But what it means is you get your priorities right. Get things in priority and perspective. It's going to take too much effort. Yeah, well, I've got to put myself out a little bit. Could you put yourself out for God? It's going to cost you money. Some of you might have a few, Bob. Well, God might want to take it off you. He might want to say, well, hang on. Somebody else over there is in need. Someone over there needs something. Yeah? If you've got money, then use it. You can't take it with you. Maybe it's inconvenience. God, you're a little bit of an inconvenience because you're messing my routine. You know, you're putting me out here. No, God's not putting you out. Those stories you just illustrated. Name and you put, hang on, this is a bit inconvenient. I've got to go in there. You're joking, aren't you? The rich young ruler, I've got to give up my money to... No, I'm not doing that. Inconvenience to miss the opportunity that God wants to do in your life. It interferes with my plans. You ever said that, Lord? This interferes with my plans. I'm doing this, this, and this, but sorry, God. You want me to do this, that, that, and that, but I'm sorry. My plans, I'm doing it my way. It's no good, guys. Hebrews 3, verse 15 says, today, not tomorrow, today, right now, and God is here today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Yeah, and it's easy to do that, guys. We can all do, ooh, hang on, Dave. Oof, fold the arms. Oh, no way I'm not doing that, Lord. You've had it. No way at all. I'm not going anywhere near that. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not giving that up. No. Stop. Ooh. Guys, we've all done it. We all do it. God wants to set us free. He wants to set us free. No more buts. No more buts. No more. In Zechariah, we read about a guy called Zerubbabel. Yeah? Zerubbabel. It's a bit hard to say Zerubbabel. Yeah? He faced opposition because God had told him from nothing to build a temple. I think it was called Zerubbabel because that's what he built from. Absolute rubble. There was nothing there. Yeah? It was, wasn't it? It was absolute rubble. Hang on a minute. That's his name. From nothing. Is God asking you to do it? Lord, there's nothing there. Where do we start? Imagine being told, I want you to build a temple. Hang on, I'm going back to where I've come from. But when he got there, all it was brown field. There was nothing there but rubble. But God said, I want you to build the temple. And that famous verse comes there, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Guys, it doesn't rely on you and me. Yeah? Effort is important. Yeah, we have to do things. But it's the Spirit of God that's going to make the difference in your life and my life. Yeah? It's the Spirit of God that's going to change circumstances. It's the Spirit of God that's going to do amazing things. It's the Spirit of God, yeah, that's going to bring those expectancies into fruition. Yeah? And he also said to Zerubbabel, in the next verse, it says, do not despise the day of small things. Yeah? There was nothing to start with. He must have got his shovel out and thought, dear me, how do I manage this? Nothing at all. The temple eventually got built after a number of years. Read the story yourself. It's a great story. It eventually got built, but it starts with nothing. And you might think, you know, I've got nothing to offer. God says, look, don't despise the day of small things. You might just have something you're smart, starting small. Mm-hmm. But the impact of it, the impact, the possibility, it could just be, wow, immense. Tom's not here today. It's a pity Tom's not here today because just story of Tom is just what God's done in his life. And I know he'll listen to the podcast in these last 12, 18 months, yeah, where God has given him 13 million hits. 13 million hits on his writings. Yeah. It's just beyond comprehension. And they're closing his site. I don't know if you know that, but Movie Pilot is closing on the 1st of December because they've got some technical issues and one thing and another. I won't go into all the details. Yeah. God has picked up a talent of Tom. He had no job and he gave up. He said, I'm going to take this chance almost. I don't use chance in a lottery sense. I mean, a chance in God of putting the fleece out there. And God has blessed him abundantly. And then all of a sudden, it could be, oh, the enemy's come, Tom, and pulled the rug from under you. That's the end of it. I got a text from him on last night, actually, it was, or yesterday. I can't remember when. It came sometime yesterday. And I'm not joking, but tears were coming down my face. I was pouring tears out because of the emotion got into my heart. That Tom's just been signed up by another agency, which is massively bigger than Movie Pilot. And he's got another option. Somebody else wants him on an even massiver one, a bigger one, with a worldwide organization. And God is using that guy, I'm telling you. And he's going to open opportunities. And it started from nothing. There was Tom wasting away at the co-op bank, doing nothing. But a gifted, talented man that he laid it down, and God's going to use him mightily. Oh, glory to God, what God can do. What God can do. When we just give him, all things are possible, only believe. All things are possible, only believe. Have you given up on something today? Have you given up and said, never going to happen? Have you given up on someone, thought, never going to come to the Lord? What's the point? God wants to change your thinking today. He wants to change your mind. Somebody quoted it before, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is just a minor thing, but gives you an illustration. Healing on the streets yesterday. I went out on healing on the streets yesterday. It was only me and Ailsa that were there. It was wet. It was cold. To be perfectly honest, and I admitted it there when we were praying, we knelt down. I thought, I just don't really feel anything about this. I just almost closed out. I don't want to come. You know, I just felt empty. What's the point? You know, two of us, is there any point in doing it? Not long ago, we just got up off our knees and we were just getting set up when a guy came out and started smoking as they come for a smoke under where we are. A very well-dressed guy, very well-dressed. And he just poured out his heart, didn't he, Ailsa? Just poured out his heart. Glory to God. Why do we box God off? Why do we put him into ourselves the way I'm thinking? Yeah? When God wants to do amazing things, but we're just either selfish or not open. And God just, whew. And then a student came. And one night we prayed with him. It was just, wow. God just, I was beaten up. God just gave me a punch on the nose. Said, who do you think you are? Yeah. But seriously, guys, today, I go back to, have you given up on something? Have you given up on someone? Let's just close our eyes and pray and just say, Lord, I don't know what it is in your life. I know what it is in my life, but I don't know what it is in your life. But God knows what it is in all our lives here today. And nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible. Only believe. It looks impossible, naturally speaking. But all things are possible. Only believe. I just want you, just in this moment now, just to lay those things at his feet, whether it's people, could be your family members. Could be yourself. And there's nothing wrong in bringing yourself to God. Maybe you need to do that first and say, God, I'm just coming before you. And Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want to change in my life, whatever you want me to let loose, whatever you want me to give up, whatever you want to change, that unbelief, take that unbelief out of me. And Lord, even if you don't answer my prayer, I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to expect because you are in control and you are for me. And if you are for me, nothing can be against me. You know what's best for me. You know what's right for me. You know what fits me. And just in this moment, just reach out to God and say, God, I'm just bringing you in. I'm just believing, Lord.